Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk. I know you guys did a heavy dissection of the Wolves sweep of the Suns on the big show yesterday, the longer edition of Royce Unchained. We have even more Wolves news this morning here, because now we have an opponent officially.
Yes.
The Denver Nuggets trailed for two-thirds of the minutes in their series against the Lakers and still won it in five games.
Yes, I watched the fourth quarter last night, and I would be optimistic if I was a Wolves fan after watching that Denver operation, because the Wolves are better than the Lakers, and they're a better team than the Lakers. So, and I was very surprised how hard Denver had to fight to win that series. But the big lug again wins the game by himself in the last 3-4 minutes. He made every play.
Yeah. Well, then Jamal Murray had a wrap on his calf before the game, the size of a watermelon, which is something to watch. And then he hits the two daggers at the end too.
Yes. Yes. But, all set up by the Bluto, so it's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen basketball played this way in my entire life. See, with everything revolving around a 700-pound oaf,
Pat, he always looks exhausted, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Looks like he's going to pass out in the second quarter, and he's got 32 points.
He's the greatest point guard in the league at 300 pounds. It's unbelievable. It's fantastic. So anyway, it'll be fun. So tell me what else you got there.
And then the other nugget is we had, I think it's Woj and Ramona Shelburne combined on this. Just came out a half hour ago. The Chris Finch plan is in motion here. So he's going to have knee surgery tomorrow on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And there's still some question as to whether he'll be involved at all the early part of the series. But once he's ready to be involved, which might be Saturday, which is game one, he's going to be in the locker room. I didn't have time to read through the whole story, but like Mike and Nori will essentially be on the sidelines. But Chris Finch can communicate from the locker room, an earpiece potentially in play here, a Mission Impossible style.
Yeah, that's wow. Okay. So they're not going to have him out on the, sitting behind the bench with a, they probably don't want to take away those high priced seats that it would cost to have him sitting out there. So,
it's not confirmed yet, but that's one of their potential plans, is for him to be on some type of headset with Mike and Nori.
Oh, okay. Well, it'll be interesting. The pain that he's in for the first few days after surgery will be interested. He might have to be all drugged up. He wouldn't pass.
That's the thing. If we've got painkiller Finchy back there yelling things, right. And Mike Inori's like,
the guy's babbling,
call timeout. We don't have any. I don't care.
Yes, I don't. Well, I know he trusts the guy immensely, and Nori's been around forever, and, we'll see how it works. So it's a serious surgery, right? Is it to put underneath the patella, right?
Yeah. And the recovery usually for like the first, smarter people than me on Twitter are saying that the first 6 or 7 weeks of recovery, you have to have your knee, like your leg has to be straight in a locked position.
So you
can't sit in the front row if you're coaching. No. You'll have a Larry David tripping Shaq moment.
Right.
So you got to at least be in the second row with your leg under a chair. But then if someone like shifts the chair on you, it'd be dangerous.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I suppose it will be interesting. How about the fact? How about the idiots? Game two is Monday. Game three is Friday.
Yeah.
What the hell is this? Why is this? This is so stupid.
Yeah, why are we doing this? Is it just,
I don't know.
Is it because we're starting series before some of the previous round series are over? So we're
they
trying
spread
to
spread it out for TV purposes. Yeah.
Yes, I know they do, but I know they do it. It's gross in the first round always because they're trying to put everything on TV. But the second round, I can't recall. 3 days between, 3 full days of rest before game three here. So, that's helping Denver. Once again, the NBA's out to get us. They They're going to have Scott Foster refereeing, and they're going to give Denver extra rest after the series.
Yeah, can we confirm? Did we overcome Scott Foster, or was Scott Foster sent to usher in the new era of the NBA, Kevin Durant out to pasture?
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but I know that the Timberwolves fans don't do well when you defend Devin Booker on Twitter like I did. So we want to call a guy soft who got 49 in the elimination game, and they want to badmouth him and all man. Anthony outplayed him. Anthony's probably better than him, but I'd take Devin Booker in a heartbeat. Thank you very much.
So. He's still one of the 15 best. But it felt to me, at least in that series, like going in, if you ranked all the players in the series, Durant number one, Booker number two, and then Ant, it did feel like you were watching Ant sort of take steps up the rung in terms of NBA player rankings last week.
But, Ant was fabulous in, the decisive moments of game three and four. They did win with him having a clunker in game two. He was on nothing in game two, and Jaden McDaniels decided to play the game of his life, and that's how they won that one. So I really think of all the things that happened in this series, and Judd and I talked about this yesterday, A, the way Cat played in game four, but B, I think we saw the arrival of Jaden McDaniels coming out of the corner and actually getting in the mix here to make fantastic plays. And that, everybody was talking about Anthony's dunk, amazing dunk. How about the one McDaniels came in from the right side and took all the air out of the ball, out of the arena when he dunked that one. Booker certainly had his troubles the first three games because they did such a great job of running everybody off the three-point line, and including him. But he's not a point guard. He's a two-guard, and the dummies go into the series without a point guard, no depth. It was kind of not what we expected after seeing the I was asking Judd yesterday, did we actually rope-a-dope them in that last Sunday game? I think so.
You might be right. It might have been just a conscious rope-a-dope. At the very least, it was, let's just play a preseason-style vanilla.
Yes. Yeah, it was amazing, the teams, the difference. And we talked again about the confidence that Finch seemed to have on Monday after the blowout, home. That, we got 5 days to get ready for this, and they certainly did that. I feel bad for Finch, though. Not just the injury, but the fact that, this guy, the lifer, the guy who coached in England, the guy whose previous glories were in British basketball, and he got fired in Germany after 17 games with Giessen, and he went through all this, he played over there, and he was in the hinterlands of basketball for his entire life, and then he gets this chance, and now he gets his knee blown out. It's really weird.
The incredible thing is, if you think about it, this doesn't happen more to coaches.
Oh yeah, it does. It is because they're so concentrating on everything. Right. They have their heads are all full of all these thoughts. Safety isn't one of them.
Tibbs, how has Tibbs not been taken down at some point?
I imagine he has, but
gets up on my knees, Storm, but that's okay.
Tibbs would
just lays down with the scores table.
New ACL, switch it.
Tibbs would be out there looking like Frankenstein. They have them all taped up. Concrete all up. Put some concrete on his knee. I'm ready to go. Damn it. Who's Tibbs got in the second round?
Well, do we know? It's going to be they're the two seeds, so they would play the 7-2. They play the 4-5 game, which is what? Cleveland Orlando. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good, because he's so by getting the two seed, he doesn't have to play Boston right away. So that's,
you know what though, that man, I don't know. I've watched more Knicks playoff action than regular season action. Boston tends to be really flighty, and they'll blow leads in the fourth quarter. I could see the Knicks getting through Boston and Tibbs getting to the NBA Finals.
I could see that
Tibbs, Timberwolves Finals.
I should see Brunson. I could see Brunson having to go to the hospital every 5 hours for intervening IV.
Yeah.
He just planted him into the ground.
Come down the court with an IV bag attached to him.
Did you see the minutes? Jed was. I told Jed to look at him. We were talking about him yesterday. The minutes. I think he played seven guys all but 1 minute. Bogdanovich played 1 minute, but the three of the starters were like 45 or something like that. It
was strap in, man. Yep.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Pat, the Minnesota Twins have their longest winning streak since the great season of 2011. The It's Happening season.
Now, was it during the winning streak that you started It's Happening, or did you start It's Happening and then they won eight in a row to help sell t-shirts?
That's the fun story. A couple things off that. For 2 months, they were the best record in baseball. And they still lost 99 games, like
awful start, though.
They were 20 games under 500 on like June 1st or June 2nd. And what's funny is because we were the 1500 ESPN was carrying the Twins games at the time, coming off of this great first season at Target Field.
Yes.
So they built into the travel budget. If you remember, I was covering the Twins as the beat writer and traveling to like Chicago and Cleveland. And so they won a few games in Cleveland, if I remember, and they had gotten back to like probably from 20 games under to like six or seven games under. Mm-hmm. And we started putting together the It's Happening. The It's Happening hashtag was kind of trending and we were talking about on the show and we decided, OK, we're going to print some T-shirts here. And we had the T-shirts ready to rock and roll when the Twins were playing the San Francisco Giants in a game. And I think it was a weekend, maybe. But they scored 9 runs in the first inning off Madison Bumgarner.
Yes, I was there. It was in San Francisco, right? I was there for that. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
And we were like, here we go. We're going to launch these shirts. And I won't name his name, but our former promotions director at the time didn't launch the site on the day that he was supposed to. So we had a chance to sell like 1,000 t-shirts that night. And he's like, oh, I thought we were going to do it Monday. No.
And then they cooled off a little and finished 19-50.
Yeah.
They were 19-50. They were 44-49. And It's Happening was gone after being buried. And then they went 19-50 and they had Pedro Hernandez starting in September and guys like that. Yeah. Pedro Hernandez was starting for the Twins 1 year and the Saints the next, you know. So
did you guys hear Provis last night when he told Plouffe about when the last 8 game win and Plouffe's like, didn't we lose 99 games that he had no recollection?
Yes. And by the way, you celebrated after you avoided 100. Remember?
Well, Plouffe had the walk-off hit to avoid the 100th loss against the Royals. Yeah, he had the walk-off.
And he said Michael Kadire told him that's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened on a baseball diamond.
Because they all jumped around and celebrated with Plouffe. It was, God, that was it's amazing though. I've said it all the time, and that spring training that year, the mass of Minnesotans down there, 2011, optimists have way big numbers selling out the ballpark every day. And Ricey, every time they see Ricey, can we beat the Yankees this year? I was saying, maybe we should worry with this pitching. Maybe we should worry about some other things here. You know, I was a little skeptical, like I always am. And but it's amazing the long-term effects of that, because they thought they'd be in Target Field for 5 years drawing 3 million people, you know, that this was the new reality. And they, you know, Dave St. Peter, I know some people who work for him, says, we're not discounting tickets in Target Field. And now we're closing decks up in Target Field. But it was probably, to me, the worst season what for the impact it had on the franchise in Twins history.
Yeah.
Going back, you know.
Agreed.
Because it's amazing what it just, and the next 4 years were just miserable. And then that 2015 team wasn't any good, but they hung in the, you know, they hung in there in the wild card thing for a while because there was, you know, there was like really good teams in the American League and then a bunch of mediocre ones. But, you know, it took till 2017 to actually put a decent product on the field after that 2011. So,
yeah. No, and then just like the jokes and the cheap poll ads and everything they didn't do any favors for themselves during those years.
No, brutal. It was a brutal season. But hey, yesterday, they didn't have to get 17 hits. They only needed 4. And Theobar gave us a thrill there in the bottom of the ninth again. But that sloppy curveball of his, nobody can hit that thing. It's if he throws it in the right spot, and he got out of it. I have a hard time when he goes with he's going to get Duran back. All right, today maybe.
Yeah,
today. Yeah. Today
he's in. So yeah,
then,
he's in.
Then Chicago. All of us. Then he got 3 of them at the end. You don't have to let Theobar try to save games for you like he did last night. Because if you use Jackson Stewart in the 7th and 8th, you got no other choice. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've saved their season by just beating the crap out of the bad teams here. So.
Yeah, well, the Whiteys are feisty though. They're plucky now that they won 3 in a row.
Tommy Pham out too
says rescue the game. It was fantastic. So I gotta ask you guys something. What do you I'm trying to write about this tomorrow. Has the constant haranguing of NBA officials by players gotten worse? Are they getting away with more than they ever did? Does it happen after? I mean, did it happen? Did it always happen ever after every play? I don't think it did. Maybe I'm wrong.
It feels like it's a little more, and also it feels like just in general, whether it's the NBA or just like the country, we're afraid to put star people and athletes and kids in their places, like the 25-year-old athletes don't respect authority like they did 25 or 30 years ago, and I think you're seeing it play out on basketball courts.
That could be it, but it's not over the top. But LeBron is a 40-year-old man going insane during games now, and knowing that he's not going to get teed up because he's LeBron, you know. You know, he's screaming at his coach because he's not reviewing a play. And then he's screaming at the officials on every call.
I feel like in the 90s, the expectation was basically to be mugged. So yes. I don't know that they complained because, you know, like John Starks would undercut you, kick your ass, and then you just go down to the other part of the court. Yeah, I think it's definitely more. But I think today's athlete is like that as well. Like Phil said, the thing that I've talked to a couple of hockey people, the thing that players do now, Pat, is they get to the penalty box and then they literally have a bitch off. So instead of saying you MF, which used to be the old days, they'll like be pals off the ice. So they will go back and forth, like trying to defend themselves. That's no fun.
They'll be screaming from the penalty box.
Yeah, but they're trying to like have a conversation about why they were wronged or what, you know, instead of it just being bad blood.
Just sit. Yeah. Well, it's amazing. I was the other night I was watching saying there's not an instant that Rudy Gobert has ever left the court to go to the other where he doesn't complain. That he doesn't say, hey, make some gesture or do something like this. Yeah. Just go sit down and shut up for 5 minutes. You know, I mean, I was watching when I was at the game the other night in Minnesota. There was like 12 straight plays when somebody was ended up screaming at the referee about making some call. And I'm saying, what are we doing here? Let's, you know, this is the most difficult game in the world. Of course, you know, you don't see it, but of course there's football the NFL where we got to give them a pass because they don't complain about it. They're over there. The NFL ref on that sideline is hearing every profanity known to man, and they get away with them. They get away with them. What do you have to do to get the unsportsmanlike penalty as a on the sidelines?
It never happens. Yeah, physical contact.
I think you have to bump them.
But you can call them every filthy name you want over there, and you can see it. I mean, even our guy Kevin, the polite young Irishman, you can see him over there MFing those guys.
And, well, it's a side judge, right, though? Like it's just some slappy who's like an extra guy on the officiating group.
And then you can see the side judge always being like, what am I supposed to do? I'm just the side judge. I'm just spotting the ball here, man.
Trying to act like he doesn't hear it, you know?
Exactly. Well, I always kind of feel bad. The Target Center crowd did this about six times over the two games. The refs, you suck chant. Yeah. Refs, you suck. It's like, well, first of all, that's not going to help them call anything in your favor. And two, I feel kind of bad for these guys running around.
I saw Kat during a game actually try to get the crowd encouraged to keep it going. It's like, what are you doing?
Kat was extremely well behaved in game four, though. It was his moments of complaining were really minimal. He was actually concentrating on basketball rather than I'm getting screwed, which is the thing. But it's amazing to me is just shut up for 5 minutes and let's play basketball. And, Scott Foster doesn't walk into the arena and say, I'm under orders here to make Phoenix win a game. He's got his issues, but he's not Angel Hernandez. He's not incompetent. Otherwise he wouldn't be getting all these big games all the time. What do you think? The NBA's got somebody evaluating, right? So
I think you're probably right. I mean, the fact that they won a clinching game with the referee that Rudy Gobert did the money sign to in the regular season is pretty good.
I will say Scott's giving Rudy the fourth foul on Rudy was that might have been him remembering the money sign because that was pretty cheap. But beyond that, I mean, they got a fair shake all night. So
Pat,
Tony
Brothers
is the guy that bothers me. Tony's looking around for trouble, man. So anyway,
that guy. Well, we got to run to a scoop session here. Doogie's looking for trouble right now. So we'll connect with you a couple more times before the end of the week here, sir.
Mm-hmm. Tell Doogie to start working on getting one more starting pitcher. Is he going to do that? We'll relay the message. Yes. Okay. Good enough. See you.
All right. Bye-bye. See you, Pat. There he is. Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold.